If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's ask him to bless it. Father in heaven, this is your word. We ask that you would speak to us. We thank you that you are patient with us, that you are kind to us. Would you teach us about your love, that we might be patient, we might grow in kindness, that we might reflect your love, live out your love, and glorify you in it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue this series examining the nature of love as the Spirit instructs us into this love that we must have, there are a few things by way of review, by way of reminder, that we want to consider. The first, as we already mentioned, is that there is an absolute necessity that we have this love. This is because love is, as we just heard in our law passage, it is the sum of all of God's law, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Love is the sum of all Christian virtues, in fact. And the reason for this is because this love to which we are called is not simply an emotion or an affection. It is not simply a set of actions that we must perform, but this love to which we are called, that we must have, is a participation in the divine nature. It is a participation in God's own presence. First John tells us that God is love, and that love is from God. For us to have the love to which we are called, for us to exercise that love, practice that love, God must give us his love, which he does by his Spirit through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Spirit that has been given to us, which happens through faith. And so, we said that this love, a helpful way of understanding this love is, it is divine love. It is God's own love, which is given to us, which dwells within us, that becomes ours, and it is practiced through us. And so as we come to this second section, we begin to see a description of this love. Having understood the necessity, we now hear the Spirit begin to describe it. And as we go through this description over the next couple of weeks, there are two points that I think are going to be necessary for us to understand that will guide us on our path. And the first is important in that regardless of how this list appears, each of these descriptors of love is a verb. It is an active present tense verb. Love is not described as some inactive, inert, abstract quality that we must somehow take on with a set of adjectives. Love is described by what love does. This is even true with these first two descriptors that we have. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's difficult in our English language to wrap our heads around how this could be an active verb, but it may be a helpful way of saying it is that love is actively patient. Love is actively kind. It practices kindness. That's the first thing. The second thing is, since this is divine love, since this is God's love and participation in God's character, if we're going to understand love rightly, if we're understand these descriptors rightly, we need to look to God himself. We need to understand, how does God exhibit these qualities of love? How does he love in this way? If we understand the love of God as revealed in the Son of God, then we will begin to understand how we can expect the Spirit of God will, what kind of love the Spirit will produce in us as we seek to participate in his love. And so with that, let's begin by looking at these first two descriptors. Love is patient and love is kind. We'll begin with just a brief summary before we start to dig in a little bit more. Now, we use the term patient and we use the term kind in lots of different ways. So it's important for us to be very clear on what we are talking about here. And I want to begin by saying that the patience of divine love is not the same as simply waiting, and the patience of divine kindness is not the same as being nice. These two qualities, this patience and this kindness, there is an intimate relationship between these two things. They are very similar in some ways, but have important differences. But the patience and the kindness of divine love are indeed acts of love. They are actions. They're a way of living in love. Love for an individual who is the object of love. Both of these things, because it is a love of someone, there is a implicit knowledge of who is being loved. There is a knowledge of who I'm being patient with, who I am expressing kindness to. And that knowledge is in truth. It is a sober understanding of the nature of that person, sober and accurate. Here's what I mean. This patience, so the Greek word for patience here is a bit of a compound word. Two words, long and angry or wrath or even fury. So some translations put this as long-suffering, or we could also say slow to anger or slow to wrath. So what does this patience entail? This patience is understanding the person and in love enduring wrongdoing, enduring sin, enduring imperfection out of love for that individual. It is a knowledge that this person is a wrongdoer, even doing wrong to me, even sinning me, and enduring that for the sake of the one being loved. Kindness is almost the opposite. Whereas with patience, someone has done wrong and deserves judgment, deserves anger, deserves wrath, and they are not getting that. It's being deferred. Kindness is just the opposite. It is understanding this person, understanding that they have deserved nothing good, and yet I'm going to act in kindness. I'm going to act with love to give exactly what is needed to that person as an act of love. So in one sense, patience is not giving someone what they deserve. In the other sense, goodness is giving them what they do not deserve. Or put another way, patience is an act of mercy, because that's what mercy is. Withholding, deferring that which is deserved. And kindness is an act of grace, bestowing upon the person that which is not deserved and is good. And of course, grace and mercy, patience and kindness are essential characteristics, qualities of God himself. In fact, these are so important to who God is that he has declared them as part of his name. We saw it in our Confession of Thanksgiving in Psalm 103, but it dates back to Exodus 34. The Lord told Moses, hey, I'm going to pass in front of you and I'm going to declare to you my name. And this is the name that he declared to Moses. He said, this is my name, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. He says that he is merciful, he's patient, and he's gracious. He is kind. Those two go together. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And beloved, this aspect of God's character, his patience, is more important than we tend to realize. This definition, this name that God gave to himself became a repeated refrain for the people of God. In fact, shortly after this, in the book of Numbers, when they're in the wilderness and Israel sinned and God was ready to wipe them out, and Moses appealed to God's character and he said, "Oh Lord, you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Remember who you are." Three times in the Psalms, the people of God were taught to sing, to recount that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Three times the prophets declared the nature of God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In the book of Nehemiah, after the people of God had been in exile and they had been brought back to the land of Israel, they prayed to the Lord and they said, "Oh Lord, you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." In fact, beloved, God's patience is so essential to us that the Apostle Peter said that we need to count the patience of the Lord as our salvation. That surprised me. What does that mean? That's a remarkable statement. What? Count the patience of the Lord as our salvation. Well, it means exactly what Moses knew it to mean in the wilderness. It's the same thing for us. Our sin deserves God's wrath. God is holy. God is righteous. He sees all of our sin, each and every one of them. It is wickedness. It is evil. Not just the sins of those around you, but sees your own sin. And he and our sins deserve God's wrath, deserves God's judgment, and deserves it immediately. It deserves it swiftly, permanently, eternally. That is what our sins deserve. And for us to have any hope whatsoever, God who is holy, God who has the power to execute justice, God who is righteous and perfect in all of his ways, God must be patient. He must be slow to anger. He must wait. He must defer. He must give an opportunity for salvation. And that's exactly what he has done. He has deferred his anger because he is slow to anger, and he gives an opportunity for salvation. And he patiently endures this wickedness that he hates for us, that we might have salvation. And yet, he's not simply patient. He's patient and kind. He also provides the opportunity for escape. He provides the means of salvation even while he defers his anger. He withholds his anger and blesses us in the meantime. At least he does for a time. We're told that God is patient. He is slow to anger, but he will by no means clear the guilty. There's a time limit to this. The Apostle Paul said, "Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not understanding that his kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" This is the purpose of God's patience, the purpose of his kindness, to lead us to repentance, that we might turn to him in the means that he has given to us, that we might confess our sins and be restored to him, that we might be saved and we might have life. My dear friends, have you made the most of this patience and kindness that God has shown to you and to me? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the only hope of salvation? Or are you presuming on the riches of his kindness? Do you understand that he is patient because he is kind, because he desires that we would come to him? He doesn't take a blind eye to sin. He doesn't ignore it. He's not idle. He is deferring his anger for a time. The Apostle Peter used the example of Noah. Noah, the Lord saw the world as it was, how every inclination of man was wicked all the time. And the Lord came to Noah and he said, Noah, I have determined that I will put an end to all flesh because the earth is filled with the violence that is through the, because of them. And so I'll put an end to all life along with the earth. So Noah, build an ark. Build an ark, and when it is complete, I will tell you when to go in. Take your family in it, and you will be saved. God had determined that he would be just, that he would vindicate himself. He would purify the earth of all wickedness and all unrighteousness. And yet he waited. He waited as Noah built the ark. Year after year, decade after decade, until the ark was finished, God was enduring the wickedness, the evil, the hatred, the scorn of mankind, seeing the violence on the earth, and he was waiting until the end came, until the ark was complete, and God told them to get into the ark, and then he poured out his wrath in fury and destroyed the earth. And beloved, such is the case even now. You and I feel the wickedness and the evil that is in the earth. And sometimes it's easy for us to say, Lord, what are you doing? And he says, I'm being patient. The day is coming. I have appointed a day when I will pour out my righteous justice. When my wrath will come, when I will purify all things. I will make all things new and all things right. But right now, I'm being patient. I have set forth my son as the means of salvation, as kindness to all who will believe. And I'm waiting until my church is built to its fullness and my entire family fills the means of salvation, comes into the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And beloved, that is where we are right now. In his kindness, he has left the door open for a time. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you responded to his kindness? Beloved, if you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether you have put your faith in it or not, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, God has been patient with you. And he has been kind to you. He has preached the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ, to you that you might repent and that you might put your faith in Christ Jesus and live. I urge you to do so. Whether you have done it before or not, repent of your sins, put your faith in Christ Jesus, and live. And beloved, it doesn't matter what you have done in the past. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, how hard your heart has been. The Apostle Paul, as we saw in our assurance of pardon, he said, I am the chief of sinners. And God showed his patience to me as an example for everyone who will believe. Beloved, if he has that patience and that kindness for the chief, for the foremost of sinners, he most certainly has it for you and for me. This is the salvation, the kindness that we have in the gospel. And in fact, beloved, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, is the perfect revelation of God's patience and kindness. From two different aspects. The first is Jesus Christ is the gift of God's kindness and the end of God's patience. God is patiently enduring wickedness and evil and imperfection in this world, but only to an end. And Jesus Christ is the end. God has already appointed a day. He appointed a day when his son would hang on the cross and bear the penalty for the sins of his people, when God would pour out his wrath and judge his people and accomplish his justice. And that day has been accomplished. He's also, even now, patiently gathering all of his people to Jesus Christ for salvation. But there is a day appointed when Jesus Christ himself will return, not in humility, but in glory. Not in meekness, but in justice, to perfect all things, to make all things new. Jesus Christ is the end, the center, the fulfillment of God's patience. But he's also the gift. He's the very gift that was given by God in his kindness. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He is the gift of God's kindness. But also, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the very Son of God, is love incarnate. And so for us to understand love rightly, what it means to be patient, what it means to be kind, we must look at the Lord Jesus Christ as the perfect example. He is the patience of God incarnate, the kindness of God incarnate. And what we see in him is that he entered into a world that did not deserve it, and he gave of himself. He endured wrongdoing for the sake of love. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He was the very Word of God incarnate, and yet he endured the rebukes and the corrections by the teachers of the law who said, "You're a blasphemer, Jesus. He's the Holy One of Israel, the one who cannot stand to be around sin," and yet he lovingly associated himself with prostitutes and tax collectors. In him are all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom, and yet he spent his time with his foolish and faithless and fearful disciples. And he did these things as an act of love. The sovereign king endured rebuke and scorn and shame and the cursed death on the cross as a supreme act of love. He endured those things in love, and he knew what he was getting himself into. He knew what he was getting himself into. He knew the hearts of men. He knew the hardness of the hearts of men. He knew that faith would be hard to find. He knew who would believe in him and who would betray him, and yet he did it anyway. And he remained. He didn't come to correct and to nitpick and to perfect all things in this life. He came to exercise God's patience and God's love and to be his agent of kindness. Because he wasn't just patient. He didn't just endure. He entered in harm's way for the sake of kindness. He knew who he was loving, and he loved them for what they needed. He went and he associated with the prostitutes and the tax collectors because they were outcasts and needed to know that the love of God was for them. He healed the sick because they were sick and they needed healing. He forgave sins because he knew that our true sickness is sin, and he came to demonstrate that in him is forgiveness. And he instructed his disciples. He walked with them and he rebuked them and corrected them because he knew that they lacked understanding and they needed knowledge and wisdom in order to accomplish what they needed to do. And kindness, beloved, is always loving. But kindness is not always well received. Kindness is different from niceness. Kindness is an act of love. Kindness is done in truth, knowing the person that you are loving, providing what is needed, the good that they need, the good that they don't deserve. Niceness is a social convention. Kindness enters in, seeks to love the individual. Niceness just does good things indiscriminately. You can be nice to somebody that you don't know. You can't be truly kind to someone that you don't know. But kindness isn't always well received, because everything Jesus did was an act of kindness. It was an act in kindness when Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler and he said, "Son, go sell all that you have and give to the poor." And the rich young ruler went away sad. That was kindness, because Jesus perceived that this man's heart was fixed on money. And he wanted to free him from the love of money to understand the love of God. It was an act of kindness when Jesus interacted with the Pharisees and spoke directly to them and countered and withstood their accusations and spoke of the hope of who he was, he perceived that their hearts were hard, and yet he engaged them that their hearts might not be so hard. And yet they did not receive him. They hated him for it. His kindness was not received. And beloved, he even now proclaims the gospel through his church. And some people ignore it. That is an act of God's kindness. Act of the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has his kindness to you in pursuing you and telling you of his love for you, his sacrifice for you, has that warmed your heart? Has that caused you offense? Or has that drawn you to him that you might live in it? Beloved, this is the nature of the patience and kindness of divine love. It understands, it acknowledges, it admits who it is that we are loving, and yet it loves them sacrificially. It loves them with a costly love. It enters in, it remains, and it administers this double blessing of not giving what they do deserve and giving the good that they do not. And beloved, have you learned to love with this love? Is this patience and this kindness, does that describe how you love? This is the love that we must have in every human relationship that we have. And the basis of that love is the fact that we have received that love from God himself. And this is love, not that we have loved God, or that we are able to love one another, but that he has loved us and given his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He has redeemed us by the blood of his son. He has filled us with his spirit, and now he compels us to be like our heavenly father, to be like our elder brother, our savior, Jesus Christ, and to live with that love. But the foundation of patience, beloved, what we can rest on, what God himself rests on in his patience, what the Lord Jesus Christ rested on, is the certainty of God's promises to make all things right and all things new. God rested in the certainty that he would bring the flood and he would vindicate himself. And he was able to patiently wait because it was a done deal. He had resolved in his heart that it would happen, and he had the power to do it. The Lord Jesus Christ was able to patiently endure all the things that he did because he knew with certainty that he would be found faithful, that God would raise him from the dead, and he would be crowned with glory and honor. And beloved, you and I have been given those same promises. We have been given the promise of eternal life, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and will make all things new, all things right. He will vindicate you. He will vindicate himself, and he will bring glory to his name. It is done and happening, and he is patient now, and he urges us to patiently endure and to love with kindness as we wait. We need to do this in every one of our relationships, and of course, there's many different battlegrounds where we wage this war of patience, where we have to endure. If we flip through the pages of 1 Corinthians, we can see a number of different battlegrounds that the church in Corinth had to deal with. They were an impatient church. They were not a loving church. Paul is trying to exhort them to love with patience and kindness. And I've got four instances that I think are relevant to us. The first has to do with personal preferences. The church in Corinth, they were a divided church. I'm sliding to the right. There were some who said, I follow Paul. Another one said, I follow Apollos. Another said, I follow Peter. They had their personal preferences of their favorite preacher. Apollos was known as being an eloquent man, learned from Alexandria. And Paul was saying, I'm not preaching with words of eloquent wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And they had their preferences, and so they picked their parties, and they warred against each other. And that is what we do, beloved. We have preferences of the things that we like. As we seek to live faithfully, we try to evaluate life and determine what we think is right. Certainly, we all do it when it comes to a preaching style, the way what we are looking for in a preacher. Some like the illustrations and the stories, some like the meaty theological exposition, some like a more gentle approach, a soft-handed approach, some like a hard-handed bombastic, some like political, cultural engagement, whatever it may be, we have what we think is right, but no preacher will ever meet up to, and yet what we do is we take our make our preferences into a character assessment of what is right and what is wrong, and it's hard for us to be patient with people who disagree with us. It's not just preachers. It can be ministry styles, the way that we do ministry. It can be education styles, how we educate our children. It can be with our political opinions or how we engage with the culture. Whatever it is, as we seek to live faithfully in this world, we make our decisions, and these are the preferences that we come to, and it's easy for us to say, we have it right, and there's those people, and I have no patience to deal with those people who are wrong. And the Apostle Paul's exhortation to the Corinthians was, we're one in Christ Jesus. You're focused on the wrong things. Christ isn't divided. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? We are servants. We are one in Jesus Christ. We have different opinions, but let's not let that divide us. We must be patient with differing opinions and show kindness to one another. Another battleground comes down to different perspectives. We saw this in the church in Corinth with their different gifts. The Lord has made us all as different, very different people. The gift of our upbringing and our background, our education level, the spiritual gifting that we have a different perspective on how we live, and that will affect how we view life. And the same was true in Corinth, and Paul said, well, you know, he was instructing them. He said, well, the Lord has assigned everybody as a member of his body, and you can't have an ear saying, well, you know, foot, you know, you don't belong in the body because you're not an ear. And the foot can't say, well, because I'm not an ear, I don't belong in the body. He said, no, the Lord has arranged everybody in this body. There's a beauty to it. There's a differing of gifts for building one another up in love. And we do something similar. I think we're very prone to such a thing. For those of us who have a gift of theological understanding, biblical knowledge, understanding the things of God, how easy is it for us to look at people who do not and say, why don't you understand this? What's wrong with you? Well, for us who are gifted with a heart of compassion and love, it's easy for us to look at other people and say, why is that person so hard-hearted and harsh? What's wrong with that person? It's easy for us to condemn in our hearts from our perspective of how we view life. What Paul says is, the Lord has arranged us all with different gifts for building one another up. We must be patient with different perspectives and exercise the kindness of using your gifts for building each other up in Christ. Third area is personal grievances. The church of Corinth had these petty arguments that were going on that had gotten to the point where they were taking each other to court. There were lawsuits. In the church, beloved, the church is full of sinners. And when sinners are going to sin against one another, and everything from sin to just petty disagreements that run out of control, and we have to guard our heart. This is a place of patience where we feel the pain, where somebody may be intentionally or unintentionally harming us. We live in an offense culture where it is so easy to focus on the offense I am receiving and to lash out in impatience. And Paul's instruction to the Corinthians is instructive. He said, the fact that you're going to law to court, you've already lost. Why not be wrong? Why not be defrauded? Such an anti-American statement, beloved. We want our rights. We want to be treated the way we want to be treated. And we want to stand up for ourselves. And what Paul says is, why not be wronged? Why not be defrauded for the sake of love? What did Jesus Christ do for you? What does God the Father do for you even still? He's patient with you. He loves you. Love with that love. In fact, don't just be patient, be kind. How can you do good for them? And the fourth and final way that there's this battleground, and this is a little bit different, is that the situation with professing believers in unrepentant sin. We are to be patient with sin, but we are not to turn a blind eye to sin. True biblical patience is dealing with sin as God calls us to deal with sin. And in the church, there was a man who was in unrepentant sin. There was sexual immorality. This man had his father's wife, and the church did nothing about it. They were nice. They just let it go on. And he said, you should have cast out this brother. You should have purified the church. Beloved, there's a difference between a believer who sins, because we all sin, and we need to be able to absorb sin as we're all in this growth of grace. There's a difference between that and a professing believer who is living in unrepentant sin, who is unwilling to change, who is going to continue in it. The kind action in that case is to confront the brother. They're in a place of danger. They need to be rescued. They're wandering away from Christ Jesus. What they should have done was to pursue such a brother. Beloved, if you see a brother or sister who professes the faith in Christ Jesus and is living in unrepentant sin, our obligation as an act of love is to enter into that situation, into harm's way, as an act of kindness, and confront them in a spirit of gentleness in that sin. If they will not hear you, to bring one or two others along, that everything may be established by multiple witnesses. And if they don't hear, then bring them to the church, that the church may speak into it, the situation. And if they won't listen to the church, you need to treat them like a tax collector or a Gentile. That is an act of love. That is an act of rescue. That is an act of kindness. That is what we are called to. And beloved, this is the love that we must have, to endure wrongdoing even while we are seeking to do good. This is what our Savior Jesus Christ taught us to do. He said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Romans chapter 12 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is the divine love. That is what God's love does for us. He has overcome our evil with his good. He gives us the privilege of participating in that. Beloved, do you see this, the beauty of this patience and kindness of divine love? Do you see how a church marked by this patience and this kindness would be glorious? Do you see how every family, every marriage relationship, every friendship relationship marked by this kind of patience and kindness would be a blessing? Beloved, this is this type of love, this patience, this kindness, this is not something the world knows. The world knows about rights. The world knows about vengeance and vindictiveness. The love of our God is patient and kind, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Beloved, if you're not in Jesus Christ, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have this love. This love comes only from God, because God is love. But our God is kind to you even now. He offers you his love even now. He has sent his Son for you to give you his love. He has been patient with you that you might repent and believe in him. I urge you to receive Jesus Christ and to bask in his love. Beloved, this is the love, this patient and kind love is what we'll experience for all eternity. This patience in a bit different sense. Because in glory, we will have experienced the end of all of our patient endurance. In glory, we will rejoice in God's perfect patience in redeeming us for himself. In glory, we will rejoice that his justice has been done and that there is nothing more to endure, but only to enjoy forever and ever. But in glory, we will be immersed in his kindness, basking and worshiping him for his glorious kindness to us, his love poured out without measure and flowing through us, loving one another with perfect kindness forever and ever. Oh, beloved, there is such a beauty, an eternal beauty in God's love. But in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we get to experience it now. My dear friends, if you are in Christ Jesus, has the Spirit convicted you in your lack of patience, in your lack of kindness? He has for me throughout this week. And praise God for it if that is what he has done. Because, beloved, that conviction of sin is God's kindness. He continues to enter into your life that he might show you his love, that you might participate in it. Do you desire to love with this kind of love? You have the gift of repentance. You have the gift of forgiveness. Repent of that impatient heart, that lack of kindness that you have. Go through the relationships of your life and evaluate where you have been impatient and unkind and confess those things to your God, and he promises to forgive you. Ask him, thank him for his patience to you and his kindness to you, and ask him to fill you with his love. He has promised to do it. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Spirit that he has given to us. And then, being forgiven, go be reconciled to your brother or to your sister or your friend. Admit your impatience. Confess it. Be reconciled. That too is a gift of God's kindness. Be reconciled in love. Oh, beloved, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That is our God. And as the Lord has loved us with his merciful and gracious love, may he fill us with that patience, that kindness, that mercy, that grace, that we might love with his love to his glory and to our benefit. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you have been so kind to us and so patient to us. We give you all the praise and the glory. Would you transform us into your image that we might love with this love? Oh, we want to taste the sweetness of that, the sweetness of that patience, the sweetness of that love. Would you work your glory and your grace through us? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.